Ecclesiastes chapter number 11. Now here's a powerful truth in Ecclesiastes chapter number 11. And it's about serving the Lord and about living for others. Now this truth here in Ecclesiastes chapter number 11, we're going to have to unpack it verse by verse to see its richness. It'd be easy just to kind of, you know, you read over it and you're like, okay, what was that all about, right? You ever read verses like, oh, I don't know what that was all about. And so, yeah, I do that too. And so I had to find out what they were all about. So you do some cross-referencing, you do a little studying, right? And you pray and ask the Holy Spirit. Now, there are many things here in this passage of Scripture, and they all revolve around verse number 1. Look at Ecclesiastes 11, verse number 1. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Now, that really doesn't make a lot of sense if you think about taking some bread and just throwing it out there. You throw it out in the pond, right? Some duck is going to eat it, right? Some fish is going to eat it. It's just going to rot. And you're not going to see it again. You're not going to find it after many days. You just lost it. You're never going to see it again, okay? It doesn't make sense to me unless you understand. Look at Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 7. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 7. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season, what's the next three words? We shall reap. Notice the condition. If we faint not. In due season we shall reap. If we faint not. Now back to Ecclesiastes chapter number 11. Let's look at this morning. We shall reap. Our illustration here. Cast thy bread upon the waters. Now you can make bread out of a lot of different things. But typically, what is it that you use to make bread? Flour. Where does flour come from? Wheat, okay? Glad you didn't say oats, because I didn't bring any oatmeal with me this morning. But I was like, wheat, okay, here goes my illustration, right? All right, so wheat, this is wheat. Now, the little grains in the wheat are found in John chapter 12. This is a farming illustration. How many of you grew up on a farm? You grew up on a farm. My dad grew up on a farm. You grew up on a farm. You gotta love farms. You gotta love farmers. They are, you grew up on a farm? Was it the funny farm? That's where you live now. With me. Oh, I'm in trouble. She's from Maine, not from Michigan. I'm going to the moon. You had pigs and cows and chickens, and one day the cows went on the trailer, and then you saw them again in the freezer. Yeah, Roscoe and Ferdinand, the two cows, right? Eeny, weeny, and what was the pig's name? Eeny, meeny, and weeny. Yeah, that's where they go. Scrapple. All right, pigs. So you learn a lot from farming. You learn a lot. There's so many illustrations in the Bible, so I give you that time. No, I didn't turn there. John chapter number 12. Oh, hi, Mom and Dad. Good to see you. Farming, great. Those cows were great. We enjoyed them. McDonald's. All right. John chapter 12, look at verse number 28. John chapter 12 and verse number 24, okay? Verily, verily, I say unto you. Now, who's doing the speaking here? Jesus is. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Now, he just gets done here with Lazarus, right? The resurrection of Lazarus. He's talking about his own resurrection. He's talking about dying and giving fruit. Unless Christ died, we could not be saved. Unless he rose from the grave, we could not be saved. Now, he uses the illustration, a corn of wheat. Now, we think of corn because the American Indians and those down in Mexico, they brought all this wonderful corn, and we enjoy it. I love corn. And but corn is different than wheat. But this little kernel on here is called a corn of wheat. There's probably, I don't know, I didn't count them, there's probably 20 or 30 little seeds on here that make up the wheat that they would use. They would take this scratchy part off, and they would use the seeds here to make flour. They would grind it, and they're called a what of wheat? A corn of wheat. Unless that corn of wheat dies, it abideth alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. So how many stalks of wheat do we find on this particular one stalk of wheat? 20 or 30, right? That give 20 or 30 grains, corns. Now I'm calling them grains, right? Corns of wheat. So there's a multiplication process that goes on here. But the first thing that has to happen, these don't grow anything. These, they dry, and they're kind of crunchy. And if I don't plant them, I will never see a stalk of wheat. I'll never see a crop, will I? Except the corn of wheat die, it abideth alone. That's all I get. If it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. So that's the thought of the illustration here. It's talking about bread. It's not talking about a loaf of bread. It's not talking about, at 4 a.m. before you wake, wholesome bread is being baked. H-O-L-S-U-M. Remember that? I grew up in the 70s, all right? Wholesome bread, all right? How many remember Wonder Bread, right? Mrs. Carl's, all that white bread, right? You take like a ball of it like that, throw it up against a wall, and it sticks there, right? It's not good. It does the same thing to your intestines, okay? It's not good for you. It's not talking about a loaf of bread, a slice of bread. It's talking about this corn of wheat. So let me unpack this for us. There are two types of seed. When a farmer would gather their crops, all right? Those of you who are farmers, think about this, okay? When a farmer would gather their crops, there are two types of seed. Number one, there is seed to use for our bread. There is seed that we're going to eat. The corns of wheat that we're going to use for our household and to feed our family are called the bread corn, because it's going to feed our family. The second type, guess what? Next year, I have to plant the crop again, because they didn't have Agway and they didn't have, mail it out. Why do they call a seed company Burpees? I always wanted to know, right? I'm not buying cucumbers from Burpees, right? Sorry, Brother Jackson, where is he? Okay, I don't care if they turn orange. I'm not buying them from there, okay? So you have to have some seed corn left over for next year, right? If you eat all your bread corn and you don't save any for seed corn, you are not going to have any bread next year. That makes sense, right? We got that, okay? Here is the premise of the message. If we don't understand that, Zach, we can't finish the thought, okay? We've got bread corn we're going to eat. We're going to put it in the barn. We're going to grind it up. We're going to make stuff out of it, and we're going to eat it. But we can't use 100% of it. We've got to save a little bit, or we're not going to have any food next year. We got that. That makes sense. Now, here's the teaching. Cast thy bread upon the waters. Now, the waters are the low places that were watered, a watered field, the place where you could grow a crop. Cast thy bread upon the mountain. Okay, it's a different place, okay? You're not going to grow a lot on the mountain. You're not going to grow a lot in the desert. But a place where you'd have water. Cast thy bread upon the waters, low places or fields where the seed can grow. Now, don't miss this, because there's something huge in that verse. Cast whose bread? Thy bread. It doesn't say thy seed. It's not talking about going out when it's time to plant seed and planting seed. It says thy bread. If you are going to see a harvest, if you are going to reap in due season, if your life is going to give back a return for God and a return for good, you and I are going to have to sacrifice some of our bread corn for our family and for ourselves to provide seed corn for the poor. Cast thy bread. It's easy for me to give somebody the seed to give somebody bread. But it's hard for me to take my seed corn that's from my crop and from my family and say, okay, I'm going to feed you and I'm going to feed your family because I might not have enough. But the Bible promise here is cast thy bread. Take your corn seed that you have for your next crop that you're going to plant and give it to somebody else. Cast it upon the waters. And then the promise is, thou shalt find it after many days. We are to provide others with their needs as God meets our needs. We are to provide for others from our, look what Psalm 126 says. Turn back there. Psalm 126, verse number 5. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, don't miss the next phrase, bearing what kind of seed? Precious seed. Shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Listen, the precious seed is not my abundance, and I'm giving you the leftovers. That's not precious. The precious seed is after I have my bread corn in, and I don't have any more bread corn, and you come and you have a need, now I give you my seed corn. That's precious. Because I don't have any more. I'm going to get less of a crop, and my family's going to suffer. And the Lord said, I will come again with rejoicing. Hey, maybe they that sow in tears, maybe it's not only tears of compassion, maybe it's tears of, I really need that for next year. What am I going to do? How am I going to feed my family? All these people over here. And God says, it's precious seed. I know, you don't have any more. You can't go down to the store and buy it. But you sow that precious seed, and you will doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing your sheaves with you. You're going to solve that person's problem, and I'm going to take care of you because you did. Isn't God like that? Precious seed is my bread corn being given away as someone else's bread. A poorer person's seed corn. It's precious because I'm giving my life. It's precious because I'm giving what sustains me. It's precious because I'm taking from my family and I'm giving to meet a need. But what is the promise? Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Wheat is the most valuable grain in the world, because it lies longest in the ground. Now, I did not know this. When you plant corn, we have a short growing season, right? Maybe 100, 110 days. Ever tried to grow a watermelon in New Hampshire? Little sugar babies, right? You had to have it like this big before you stick it outside, right? Watermelons aren't happening, right? Frost. Try growing them in Michigan, right? And what's that golf ball? It was a watermelon. Okay, it froze. But you know, you plant corn, and the old saying is knee high by the 4th of July, right? You plant the corn in May, you plant the corn in June, you're eating that corn by August. How many months is that? June, July, August, maybe one more, right? 4 months, 120 days. Would you like to know how long it takes wheat to grow so you can eat it? 240 days. Wow. Think about that next time you eat a loaf of bread. 240 days. And the wheat is not planted in the spring. The wheat is planted in the fall. You can plant a spring crop, but most commonly it's planted in the fall and it winters over and you harvest it in the spring. 240 days. You plant it in October or November and you harvest it in 7 to 8 months. Cast thy bread upon the waters. Okay, I have bread for my family. I have seed corn for next year. Here comes somebody and they need something. And God says, give it to them. It's precious. I don't have any extra, God. You don't understand. He said, give it to them. And I give it. And then it winters over, right? My next crop. And I said, I can't see it. He said, you'll find it when? After many days. That's faith, isn't it? Look at the next thought. We are to sow to all waters. Isaiah chapter 32. It's close by. Just look a little farther. Isaiah chapter 32. Now, don't lose me. Isaiah chapter 32. And look, if you would, at verse number 20. Isaiah 32, verse number 20. Blessed are ye that sow beside, how many waters? All waters. I am supposed to sow the seed. The seed is the gospel. The seed is the word of God. The seed is me doing the will of God. The seed is me meeting the needs of others around me. Sow the seed beside all waters. You know, it's easy for me to be kind of prejudiced with that, right? Well, they don't deserve it. And God said, just sow it anyway. Well, they're all set. Just sow it anyway. Well, they don't, I don't know. They're not like me. Just sow it anyway. Sow your seed beside all waters, all walks of life, all needs, all members of society, all flavors, colors, shapes, and dispositions, right? Just keep sowing the seed. Let God take care of the crop. I can't worry about that. I'm just supposed to be obedient. We are to be generous. Look at Isaiah. You're in Isaiah, right? Look at chapter 58. Sow your seed, cast your bread upon all waters. Sow beside all waters. Isaiah 58 and verse number 7. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Isaiah 58. Now the results are tremendous. We don't have time to look into all of it, but if you look at verse 8 through the end of the chapter, verse number 14, you see the results that God gives when we are generous in giving our bread and sowing the seed and doing God's will here on this earth. God has no hands but our hands to do his work today. He has no feet but our feet to take his word where he wants it to go. He has no voice but our voice, so we must be busy sowing the seed. The results are tremendous. Number two, the second thought, Ecclesiastes 11. So here's the premise of verse number one. We've got that. Now look at verse number two. Verse number two, Ecclesiastes 11, verse number two. Give a portion to seven and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. We're to be generous to many. We're to be generous to all. Now, kind of the number seven is a complete full number, right? 7 days in a week, right? It's the number of perfection, if you would. So we're to give, and then we get to seven, and we say, I'm all done. How often should I forgive my brother, right? Seven times? 70 times seven. And so now an eighth one comes up and has a need. What am I supposed to do? Give my bread to the eighth one. Give my bread to whoever needs it. It would seem that one more need comes up, and I'm supposed to give. Then the Bible says, guess what? You don't know when evil's coming. Half, second half of verse 2. Also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. There may be an evil coming where you can't give. Inflation, right? There may be an evil coming where you can't give. Give what you can. There may be an evil coming. You may be in need yourself. But guess what? As you have sown, so shall you reap. God makes sure he takes care of people who give, and he gives back. He said, cast your bread upon the waters. You'll find it after many days. Well, it's winter out. It's cold. And God says, I know, but I'm working under the ground. I'm doing something you can't see. I'm growing a crop. You can't do that. All you can do is sow the seed. So get busy sowing the seed. Number three, the third part. The third verse. There's two parts to this verse. Ecclesiastes 11, verse number three. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. That's profound, isn't it? What does it mean? Okay, here's what I think it means. Two parts. The clouds are full of rain. Why are the clouds full of rain? You know, we'd think the clouds are full of rain because they want to keep the rain. But you fill up a cloud with rain and it can't keep the rain. What happens? It rains. Right? A cloud is kind of puffy and light and fluffy. It looks like a cotton ball. And pretty soon it starts absorbing all the moisture, right? And the evaporation that goes up in the sky, and the cloud gets dark. Then what happens? Poof! It gives that water right back again, doesn't it? The clouds are full of rain, not to keep the rain, but to empty themselves. Where does it rain? Think about it. This is profound. I mean, I had to really work on this a long time. Where does it rain? Everything beneath it, right? We say, I'm sitting way up here and look at all that I have. And God says, yeah, there's a lot of people beneath you that need some of that rain. Why don't you just rain? Why don't you just give it? Why don't you just let it go? Because I can fill that cloud up again. Who fills up the clouds? God. God said, I gave you rain, so not so you can hold it and say, I am the darkest cloud in the sky. Look at me. I am formidable. Everybody's afraid of me, right? Nobody wants to go outside. And God said, dummy. Let it go. Rain. Okay. All right. But all those people down there, they don't deserve, hey, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. God said, just rain everywhere. rains beneath. What does the rain do to the earth? It enriches the earth. It makes wheat grow. It makes stuff grow. It enriches everything. It gives fertility and growth. Who refills the clouds with rain? God does. A heathen man by the name of Seneca said this, "I possess nothing so completely as that which I have given away." An unsaved guy said that. That's a pretty, he said, you know, I've enjoyed possessing those things so much, I gave them away, and I feel like I own them more because God didn't use him, but he used himself to do that, okay? So think about that. Now, here's the tree. If a tree falls to the north or the south, that's where it is, right? There it shall be. That's profound. You cut down a tree, timber, that's where it is. So it's going to stay, right? That's really great. What does it mean? It means this. Do what you can where you are. I can say I'm not the tree that fell to the east or the west, but I'm the tree that fell to the north, so I'm supposed to do what I'm supposed to do this way. I'm supposed to take my life and not covet your tree and say, this is the life God gave me, and it's going to go this way, and that's what I'm supposed to do with it. I can get jealous of other people. I can say, look what other people get to do. Or I can say, hey, look what God used me to do. God's using me to do this. Hey, also, when a tree falls, its life is over. Hey, one day your tree's going to fall. One day my tree's going to fall. If it falls to the south, it's not getting back up again. That tree is not getting reattached to the trunk and growing anymore. It's all done. So the profound thought is, one day my life is going to be over and I'm going to be all done. There's a song in our songbook. The lady who wrote it was going to be a missionary. She had these great plans, grandiose plans, going around the world to be a missionary. She studied, she worked, she prayed, God, please help me. And then one of her family members got sick and she had to stay there and work with her family member. And she wrote the song called Brighten the Corner Where You Are. She said, I can't brighten the world, but I can brighten my corner of the world. Brighten the corner where you are. Brighten the corner where you are. Someone far from harbor, you may guide across the bar. If you'll brighten the corner where you are. Hey, I can't do everything for everybody, but I can brighten my corner. I can make my world a little bit of heaven on earth. So the clouds are full of rain to give. The tree falls. Its life is over. Where it is, that's where you are. Look at verse number 4. Here's a great verse, verse 4. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. I wrote next to that, there will always be a good excuse. Right? There's always a good excuse if you don't want to do something. He that observeth the wind shall not sow. I can't go out and sow seed today. I'm going to sprinkle it around, the wind's going to go, whoosh, blow it away. Well, tomorrow it's going to be windy too, so it's going to be the other direction, right? And the next day, it's going to be harder. And then the Bible says here, he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. Hey, this is before they had like weather.com, right? What's going to happen? I don't know, the clouds, tomorrow, we'll do it tomorrow. And tomorrow turns into the next day, the next day, and the next day, next week. Hey, what's your excuse? Well, you know, I can't do what I'm supposed to do for God because it's windy out. It's always going to be windy. I can't do what God wants me to do because the clouds, it might rain. I don't know, it's not raining now, but it might rain. There will always arise a wind. There will always arise a cloud. It talks about sowing. Sowing is doing good. Reaping is getting good. There's always going to be some kind of cloud. Who, by pray tell me, holds the wind in his hands? God has gathered the wind in his fist. And God controls the clouds in the sky. Sometimes these things are sent to try us. God sends a wind and he says, are you going to sow in the wind or are you just going to sit on your hands? Are you going to get busy because it looks like it's going to rain? Or are you just going to sit around and give me an excuse why you can't reap because it's going to rain? No, God, you control the wind, you control the rain. Didn't he say, peace, be still? Sometimes God tries us. The Bible says endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You know what? Wind, I was thinking about this. Wind and clouds don't even hurt. We're out there and, boy, it's windy. And God says, are you going to flinch at wind? Really? Clouds. I mean, you're in the fog, right? It doesn't hurt. It's kind of ethereal. You can't really touch it and grab it. I know we're looking at what it possibly could do. The Bible says there's a sluggard, a slothful man. You remember the story? The slothful man saith, there is a lion in the streets. I'm going to be slain if I go outside. I can't go outside. There's a lion. You ever see lions out there, Brother John? There's no lions out there. Oh, there's tigers and bears and lions. I can't go. Where are you? At the circus? I can't go outside. I might get eaten by a lion. Don't worry. They're mad eating lions. Some people will be fine. All right? Now, we allow small difficulties to keep us from great and real duties. Look what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6. Small difficulties keep us from great and real duties. I was talking to a man a couple of weeks ago. We got all those donations, right, for Ukraine. We brought, I don't know, 35 boxes or something like that. Thank you for everybody who gave. We've given almost $10,000 to the missionaries in Poland to work with the Ukrainians, right? Wonderful. God bless each one of you. I was talking to a Ukrainian who is a friend of mine. He actually helped us here with this building, take care of some of these things up here years ago. And he said, my brother still lives there in Ukraine. I talk to him every day. And he said, you know what, this was like 80 days ago. You know what the Ukrainians are doing right now? He said, they're planting their fields. In the middle of a war, they're planting their fields. Why? Because they're going to have to eat come fall. So what are they doing? They're going out when they're not being shot at. They're going out when they're not being blown to pieces. And they're out there on their tractors, and they're out there with their horses and whatever else, and they're planting their fields because they know they have to eat in the future. It'd be pretty easy for them to say, there's a war going on. I can't go out in the field. Somebody might happen to me. A missile, right? That's the ocean. A missile might hit me on the head, right? Kablooey. You can tell I'm a veteran, right? Kablooey. And they're next to the sea, okay? It skips up on land. It evolves, okay? Now, you're going to say something silly someday too, so don't worry about it. Thank you for laughing. Now, where was I? Oh, Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, here's Jesus talking, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow not. Grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Wherefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Jesus said, our life is more than meat. Hey, my life is more than that seed corn, holding on to it and saying, you know what, it's mine. I grew it. I went out there and worked in the field. I toiled. I was out there in the hot sun. I paid for this. And God said, why don't you give and sow? Well, I won't have much left. I'll have less left than when I started. God says, you know what, I can take care of that. Life is more than meat. It's more than you feeding your face. It's more than you getting your needs met. It's you meeting the needs of the people I need to have their needs met, God says. Stop observing the wind and start obeying the Lord. We got a whole weather station why we can't obey God. Let's see. Oh, I did see that move. Did you see that? It moved. Kind of like Mount Washington, like 215 miles an hour, right? Tore the cereal out, goes that way. You ever see that video? That's awesome. And, that little thing, it moved. Hey, there's a cloud over there. Oh, that's the steam off the stove. Ah, guess I'm going to have to sew. Here's again a two-part mystery. Number 5. Verse 5. As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. A two-part mystery. The spiritual, the way of the Spirit, and the physical, the conception and birth of a baby. First of all, we don't know what works God would do. Spiritually, the salvation of a soul. God does that. I don't know the way of a spirit. All I've got to do is sow the seed. God does the work. I can't control the spiritual aspect. I can just give the gospel to somebody. I can just tell somebody what God wants them to do. I can't control the results. But God says, look, you don't know the way of the Spirit. Hey, doesn't God absolutely transform a life? I mean, he takes a life that's ruined. He takes a life that's a mess. And he wins that person to himself. He puts their name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And he makes them a new creature. Wow. I can't control that. But the Spirit sure does a good job. So we don't know what works God would do, but if we don't ever cast our bread and give our bread, we'll never see him do any works. The physical. So here's the thought. Go back to the spiritual first. Stop observing the wind. Hey, some of you need to trust Christ as your Savior. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, if you don't know heaven as your home, stop making excuses why you won't get saved or can't get saved or shouldn't get saved and trust Christ to save you. It's time. Life is short. Eternity is long. Heaven is real. Hell is real. Trust Christ today. The physical. What works would God like to accomplish in this world today? There are things that God would like to have happen in this world today, but we won't cast our bread upon the waters. There are things that begin today, here, that God will use to build the kingdom of God, but it all hinges on us doing our part. Are you and I willing to give our bread corn away to be someone else's seed corn? Are we willing to give what's ours to someone else and have their needs met? You know, Gospel Baptist Church is a miracle. It's a miracle. We're coming up on 30 years. But I can remember when we met underground. We were in a basement for 6 years. 6 years, we were the underground church. I met over here at 259 Hanover Street, Barking Gym or whatever it's called, right? Dogs. And corner of Hanover and Union, great building. Looks nice now. Didn't look nice then. We paid for that siding, all right? Looked beautiful. We're downstairs in the basement, 1,800 square feet. And upstairs was Jazzercise. And they're doing exercises, right? Before that, it was the Kung Fu Kingdom, right? And he's throwing people around. Boom, the lights are shaking. Remember that, Brother Les? And then it's Jazzercise. So you thought it was bad this morning. I go, turn to, and it's like, all right, lift your legs. Like, what? Okay, Jazzer's on the same frequency, right? Burn those calories. What? I didn't say that, all right? The thing is possessed, all right? But sometimes we're on the same frequency. CB radios would come over. It was wonderful. And but listen, Gospel Baptist Church isn't supposed to happen. But you know what? Some people said, I am going to give my seed corn to be someone else's bread. I'm going to give of my bread corn to be someone else's food. I am going to sacrifice my time and my life and my effort and my energy. Listen, this is the church closest to the mayor's office. Think about that for a minute. The church closest to the mayor's office, right downtown. Where else would you want to be? There's lots of people around here. But you know what? Listen, when we came here with $800 and all the promises of God, I could not see this. Well, I could. I had some great ideas, and God torpedoed all of them. Turned them into dust. I thought we were going to build a building right here on Elm and Bridge. We got pretty close. I mean, we're not done yet. But I thought, remember that big apartment right there with the cars on the top? I'm like, yeah, right there. And God says, you're an idiot. Go to work. And I work with you guys, right, over there pounding staples in my hand, putting screw guns in my fingers, right, and counting Brother Rick's inventory. For how many years did I count his inventory? And it was fantastic. And you get to rub shoulders with people that are just like everybody else, and they're cursing and swearing and all these crazy things, right? And it's like, you know what? These are the people that need help, right? They're no different than me. They're sinners. Just give them the gospel. And what a wonderful thing, a miracle. Are you willing to give your bread corn away so someone else can have seed corn? Now look at verse number 6. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. Think about it. When is the morning of life? Youth, right? Youth. You've got the energy. You've got life. You've got vitality. In the morning, sow thy seed. Hey, when you're young, sow thy seed. Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 27. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Youth is not time of frivolity and frolic and just goofing off. And how many points can I get on that game? That's not youth is to spend for God, to invest your life for the Lord, for His work, for His will. Sow thy seed, give to the benefit of others, live to enrich others. Why? Because you don't have a guarantee of evening. Look at chapter 12, verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor thy years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Then it talks about when the sun or the light of the moon or the stars be not darkened. It talks about losing your eyesight. Though the clouds return after the rain, you can't think very good. In the days when the keepers of the house shall tremble at your legs, and the strong men shall bow themselves your back, and the grinders cease, your teeth fall out, because they are few. And those that look out of the window be darkened, you can't see very good. Right, it's right here, isn't it funny? And the door shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, he can't sleep. And all the daughters of music shall be brought low, and thou shalt be afraid of that which is high, and fears be in the way in the almond tree floor. So you're going to get old, and you're going to fall apart. What should you do? Sow your seed in the morning. Take your life that you have full of energy and full of zest and full of, you know, youth and vitality and hard work, and invest it for God. Sow your seed. Give to the benefit of others in old age. What are we supposed to do? In the morning, sow thy seed. And in the evening, withhold not thine hand. Hey, can I tell you something? The older you get, sometimes it's easy to hold on to what you've got. Why? Because I'm not going to be able to work all my life, and I've got to retire, and I've got to have a nest egg, and I've got to have my 401k and my IRA. Look, you should plan for things. But sometimes it's easy to hold on to what you've got and not sow and not give. And the Bible says here that we are to, in the evening, when you're up in years, withhold not thine hand. Be generous. Give. Pour it out. Sow. God said you need to sow. It's easy to stop your charitable works and your charitable ways when it's evening. God said, I want you to sow. Thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that. Hey, what's it going to prosper? Your youth work? Your old age work? You don't know. God said, I know. Or whether they both shall be alike good. Don't stop. Can I give you, finish that thought with a Bible warning? Look back to 1 Samuel chapter 25. 1 Samuel chapter 25. Here's a Bible warning, and it is about a man named Nabal. So we are supposed to sow beside all waters. We are supposed to cast thy bread upon the waters, but thou shalt find it after many days. We're supposed to sow in the youth. We're supposed to sow in the evening. We're supposed to give and let God give through us. But here's a man named Nabal in 1 Samuel chapter 25, verse number 2. And there was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel, and the man was very great. And he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail, and she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance, but the man was churlish and evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb. Can you see the picture? This man had everything. He had crops. He had employees. He had a farm. He had property. He had a house. He had a beautiful wife. He had a loving, caring wife. He had everything a man could have. But the Bible says he was churlish. He was vulgar. He was angry. He was rude. He was calloused. He was mean. And he was selfish. He did not cast his bread. Now David was in need, verse 4. And David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep. David's on the run. And David sent out 10 young men, and David said unto the young man, get you up to Carmel and go to Nabal and greet him in my name. And thus shall you say to him that liveth in prosperity, had everything, peace be both to thee, and peace be to thy house, and peace be unto all that thou hast. And now I have heard that thou hast shears, now thy shepherds, which were with us. We hurt them not, neither was there aught missing unto them, all the while we were in Carmel. Ask thy young men, and they will show thee. Wherefore, let the young men find favor in thine eyes, for we come in a good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thine hand unto thy servants and to thy son David. Very humble. David said, we could have stolen stuff. We didn't. We could have been unkind to your workers. We weren't. And when David's young men came, they spake to Nabal according to all those words in the name of David and ceased. So David had a need. What did Nabal do? He had prosperity. He had everything he could want. He was rich. Verse number 10. And Nabal answered David's servants and said, "Who is David? Who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. Shall I take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shears and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be?" He said, "No, I'm not giving you my bread." Now there are some characteristics of a selfish man. Verse number 3, he was churlish and he was evil. You know, if we won't be giving and give to the needs that God has around us, God says we could end up with a churlish, evil heart. Verse 25. "Let now, my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him." He was a fool. He was a man of Belial. That means the devil. We read it once. Look at verse 17. "Now therefore know and consider what thou wilt do, for evil is determined against our master and against all his household, for he is such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him." He was used by the devil in being selfish and not giving to David. What happened? Verse 37, the end of the story. "But it came to pass in the evening, when the wine was gone out of Nabal and his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him and he became as a stone." He died with a hard heart. Talk about hardening of the arteries, right? He got the whole thing. His heart became like a stone. You know, if we're not careful and we don't obey, "Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days," we could end up being like Nabal. Evil, churlish, rude, vulgar, foolish, used by the devil, and die of a hard heart. We all know people like that, don't we? Probably when you were a little kid, you had one in your neighborhood, right? They were just evil, mean, rude, and probably for good cause, because you used to hit your baseballs over in their yard like I did, right? We had a guy. I was going to say he's in heaven now, but he died. I'll just leave it like that. Ray Amicangelo. And old Ray, he was on the right field fence line of the baseball field by my house. And we were right-handed, so we'd hit the ball over the left field. But every once in a while, Ray had beagles. Why am I telling this story? I don't know why. He had beagles. And they were all in cages, you know? He'd go rabbit hunting. So we learned to switch hit. So we could hit the baseball over the right field fence on top of the beagle barn. Bonk, 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 bonk. And Ray would come outside. And you know what he would do? He would bring his shotgun, and he would rack that shotgun. Now, nowadays, you get arrested, right? Like that. He'd lean it up against his car. He'd just wait for us to hit another one. I don't know what he was going to do after we hit another one, because we never did. But let me tell you, M80s at 2 in the morning when Ray's sleeping, they're awesome. I know a guy, okay? I know a guy who did that. Statute of limitations have run out. But, you know, you think of people, people get a reputation, don't they? Oh, don't be one of those. "Cast thy bread upon the waters. Thou shalt find it after many days." Are you willing to take your seed corn for someone else's bread?